Welcome to the 1955 Kahlua Study Series, Chapter 35, Individual Spiritual Experience, and this will be Part 1. Now, this chapter, this talk by Joel Goldsmith, essentially has to do with the fact that no demonstration can rise higher than the consciousness from which it emanates. And this chapter is all about the need for the development of your individual consciousness. It is your consciousness, he says. No demonstration can rise higher than your consciousness. If you attain the consciousness of Christ as the source, your experience must begin to approach infinity. Now, what does that mean? That means that before you come to the spiritual path, perhaps you're living as an individual human being and you're somewhat limited by your education or lack of education, your environment, your surroundings, your heredity, your race beliefs, the country you originated in, and that sort of thing. However, when and as you develop your spiritual consciousness and begin to see the real source is Christ, and Christ is unlimited, infinite, unconditioned being, then you begin to have an experience which approaches infinity, which would be, well, let's say you gave a spiritual class and it was recorded and the tapes went around the world and there were people in 123 countries listening to your talk. That would be your consciousness approaching infinity, because it would be everywhere on the planet practically, and in dimensions, invisible dimensions that you can't even see yet. So you may be demonstrating just an individual human life right now, but the whole purpose of these classes is to lift you and help you to develop your individual spiritual consciousness. So he says, we have Jesus and 12 disciples. Who was the best healer? And of course, Jesus. Why should he have been the best healer? Now answer me on that, he says. He really wants his class, which includes you and I, to know the answer to this. And the answer is, he was the best healer because he attained the highest degree of Christ's awareness. And we know that. Well, what about the others? They all had 3 years living with him, sleeping, talking, eating, walking, listening. But it was their individual consciousness, their individual demonstration. John and Peter, he says, were probably the greatest. You don't hear too much of the others, do you? Paul is undoubtedly greater than any of those who were actually physically present with the Master. Why? Because Paul's consciousness rose higher than those who were with him. So he's telling you it's all a matter of individual development. If they develop a success in their community, he says down here, well, let's start a little before that. We are all in the same boat. It's possible for this activity to flourish wherever it goes. And anyone's student can be responsible and begin an activity in their community. And if they develop a success in their community or city, they would certainly soon have a state. And if one state, then three states. You see what I'm getting at? Nothing can limit the state of consciousness that realizes the activity of Christ. So that's what he's talking about. What I said is traveling around the world there. He's showing you how it starts, going from one state to three states to 50 states to 50 countries. Now, that's great, but what about this developed spiritual consciousness? How do we do it? Well, the letter of truth, as we use it in the infinite way, isn't a mental science because it isn't anything you rely on for your work. It's merely the foundation through which you open consciousness. But if you had Lao Tzu, Buddha, and Jesus Christ all combined as your teacher, now that's a pretty powerful teacher, wouldn't you say? Buddha, Jesus, and Lao Tzu all together in one? If you had those all together in one being standing before you, and your spiritual center was not opened, it would be absolutely to no avail. So it's not the teacher, it's not the teaching, it's your spiritual center, and whether or not you open it. There isn't any reason why any individual in the world can't have a million followers if their consciousness can embrace it, if they attain that degree of spiritual consciousness. There have been many, many metaphysicians who have built up classes of 1,000 students, and then 20 years later, they're asking for help, for supply, for themselves, or for health. But you don't find those who develop their work through the degree of spiritual consciousness in that fix. Now see, the difference is, those that had 1,000 students and were teaching out of the intellect did not have that developed spiritual consciousness. And anything flowing out of the intellect cannot be maintained and sustained because the intellect is nothing. It's an imitation. And because it can't be maintained and sustained, 20 years later, they're starving. But those that have a developed degree of spiritual consciousness aren't in that fix 20 years later. Mrs. Eddy, Vic Noryung, Mrs. Fillmore, they had sufficient degrees of developed, cultured spiritual consciousness that appeared outwardly as their patients, their students, their dollars, their properties. And it's the same way today. Now, already in its young years, what was it, 1955 from 1947, eight or nine years, there have been several students of the Infinite Way who thought because they saw what looked like my success that they could go and do likewise. And they tried. They tried it and went nowhere with it. But you see, they tried it on the strength of the words Infinite Way, not on their consciousness of the Infinite Way. Now, we do have those who have the consciousness of the Infinite Way, and they have developed their own work, their own prosperity, their own patience, their own students, their own books, their own tape sales, all out of their own consciousness. And incidentally, that paragraph right there says to me, he does not have a problem with people developing from their own consciousness, their own work, their own patients, their own students, their own books, their own tapes. All right. Well, let's take the word Christ. Christ is invisible. And more than that, Christ can never be known by a human being. So, if you think you can know God aright, right here he's telling you that a human being can never know anything else other than Christ is invisible. So if you are to know God aright, whom to know aright is life eternal, there must be another faculty in you besides your human self that will be knowing. Well, he gives you a hint. He says Christ is completely outside the grasp of human awareness. Sometimes when you bring yourself to an actual state of frustration, that is when you are at the very place of Christ realization. If only we can rise to a high enough degree of frustration in trying to understand Christ and having it evade us and finally get to the point of, I know I can't know. I don't know it. I can't grasp it. It's beyond me. And if you can just keep that up until you have completely nothingized yourself, then in that moment of the complete frustration, or the surrender, the Christ makes itself known to us. Yes, I have beat my head against the wall many times on this path and given up in complete frustration and said, fine, I'll never know. I quit. I'm just going to stop that right now. I surrender. And then in a day or two, it comes flooding into my awareness. I've had that experience several times. That was the reason why the Zen Buddhists gave their students those cones to take back to the room, the sound of one hand clapping, so that they would reach a place of total frustration after the master told them 30 times, nope, that's not it, nope, you're wrong, nope, try again, nope, go back, nope, keep looking, nope, go deeper. They would surrender in total frustration. And what is it that happens in that surrender, really? What is it that happens? Something in you says, I give up. I can't know it with my mind. And there's a moment's silence. And in that moment's silence, it, the Christ, reveals itself. And they come back to their Zen master smiling from ear to ear. And the Zen master says, ah, so you perceived it. You see? It's the same. In any real religion that has discovered awareness or consciousness of Christ or enlightenment or the Buddha mind or the Tao, it's the same across all of them. Different terms for these human minds to play with, but the same inner experience. So we have somehow got to get this, or somehow have got to have this inner experience. And he's saying here, sometimes frustration is not all bad. It can lead you to that point of surrender. Somehow, he says, now listen to this. This is beautiful. This paragraph right here, it really is the essence of Joel Goldsmith. But not the man, the consciousness. It is the essence out of which the entire infinite way flowed forth. It is, in fact, Christ. So listen. Somehow, in this work, I never have to rely on myself, physically or mentally. I have the knack, or divine grace, of being able to rest. I can just rest. To me, it's almost like a cloud back here that I rest in. And then everything seems to take place in the outer world. It just takes form and appears before my eyes without any physical or mental effort. That is the Christ. That is the activity of the invisible. And I see it like this, and I have been working with these principles. The first chapter of Genesis is consciousness, pure, divine, Christ consciousness, God consciousness, forming itself, the soul of the universe forming itself. The second chapter of Genesis is the mind forming itself as pictures, as appearances, as mental images. In this work, we are leaving the realm of the mind by whatever road, path, way we can. We are leaving the mind and its formations, its mental images, in our meditation. We are standing stock still, waiting for the movement, for the spirit to move over the waters. We are resting. And then consciousness flows forth and forms itself. Soul forms itself. And I asked myself probably 6 months ago, what kind of a world would I live in if the mind was totally still and the only thing that formed itself was the soul, the Christ consciousness? And I started in my meditations even saying, even inviting the soul to form itself, I am still, I am a witness. Now, soul, form yourself. Because I know what kind of a world I would live in if the soul, and only the soul, formed itself. And so do you. You would be living in the spiritual kingdom of heaven. And so it's not the world out here. And it's not the kingdom out here, is it? It has nothing to do with out here. It's in here. Which master do I follow? The master called Lord God, which is the mind, the world mind, forming mental images? Or do I follow the master, God itself, as it forms its pure consciousness as the kingdom? It's up to me which place I dwell in, isn't it? So, he says, I just rest. I rest, and then everything seems to take place in the outer world. It just takes form and appears before my eyes without any physical or mental effort. And again, I'm thrown back into that vision I was given. You don't have to work on this world. Rest. I am here. I will lift you up. So that is the Christ. That is the activity of the invisible. But I see other people, oh, they're so busy with the movements of their mind. And sometimes even with physical movements, trying to get somewhere in this work. But you can't get anywhere except to go backwards if you do it that way. It's in your ability to take no thought. But the living that gives you that ability is whatever the Christ is. Or rather, the thing that gives you that ability to take no thought is whatever that Christ is. And as you attain it, it will seem that out of nowhere somebody comes and asks for help. And then another somebody. And another somebody. And another somebody. And somebody else asks for instruction, and so forth. And all of a sudden, an activity has built up around you. Now, of course, a day will come when this will go on in the world without the name Infinite Way or Christian Science. Because this isn't something that somebody owns or discovers or can even transmit. It is an activity of Christ in your individual consciousness. Now, where do you go to learn about it? Well, you don't learn about it. What book do you read? You don't read a book. Well, what do? Well, you might as well wake up and start practicing those 12 times a day. You know, in the past, you may have prayed to God and hoped that something would happen, but you never really sat back and waited for it to happen. Hence his instruction. You could sum up this entire Kailua study series in no answer to this. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Thy grace is my sufficiency, and I wait and listen. And then pause and wait for 2 to 3 minutes. And in that waiting, something does respond. Christ does. Christ reveals itself. And when Christ reveals itself to you, it always appears out here. There are signs following. And if there aren't any signs following, it's not Christ. It's still a thought that you're clinging to. You must go deeper into the silence. You never have to ask somebody how you're doing. You just have to be honest. Whoa, this was such a wonderful experience. I thought about Christ for 10 minutes straight. Yes, but did you have that healing? Was there a freedom that appeared? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so were you set free from some lack, limitation, or humanhood? Were you set free from the thoughts and things of this world? After your meditation, were there signs following within a day or two? No? No signs following? I'm sorry, it wasn't yet the Christ. It may have felt good. It may have been an emotional experience, even with a little peace of mind. But it was still the imitation of Christ, projected by the mind. You must go deeper, and like the Zen master, I'm sorry, my son, my daughter, go back and go deeper. And so you don't have to ask anybody how you're doing, but you must, M-U-S-T, must, be honest with yourself. If this is the actual experience, I have gone beyond the mind. I have felt that inner stirring. Christ did reveal and announce itself. It whispered in my ear. It lifted me above the senses. And I know it because there were signs following. That which I realized within was demonstrated without. That which I felt within appeared outwardly. And that's how you know. And that's the whole Kailua study. Thank you very much. Close the books. Forget the talks. Now go and do it. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will never need another book, because from then on you will be taught of the Spirit. Now you may pick them up and read them because you enjoy confirmation that others have walked the same way, but you won't need them. You could be on a desert island and demonstrate the Christ. All right, so let's continue. There is a spiritual influence. It has nothing to do with anybody's teaching, nothing to do with any religion, nothing to do with anybody's books. Forget books, forget teachers, forget everything in this world, except I am sitting in a chair. I am not satisfied with my world as it is, and so I start asking, is there an answer? That's your 12 times a day. Now, it may take weeks, months, years, but eventually it will reveal itself that there is a spiritual influence in this life, something that existed before there was a world, something that existed before there was an individual. Where is that spiritual influence? Well, the brain can't know it. But I can know it. It must be within range of my I-ness, my consciousness, my awareness. Well, then the spiritual power must be within range of my own awareness. I can become aware of it. And my friends, I am aware of it right now. I feel it right now flowing into me. Yes, it's right here. I am here. You don't have to work that hard. I will lift you up. Now here you see we've left out the words infinite way in Christian Science. And we find that none of those words are necessary. But you must have the experience. Whatever there is of a principle is a spiritual influence, and it's within my own being. Now we can invent a new name for it. Yes, after you've experienced it, you can invent a new name for it. I like presence. I like it. Christ. Because none of those things can I form with my mind. An invisible presence, how are you going to form that? Christ, what is that? Explain that. No, you can't. It? No. And sometimes I. Can't explain that either. But he says you can invent a new name if you want. You can call it the infinite invisible, which is what he liked. But it will only take one generation for somebody to do with the term infinite invisible what they've done with God or divine mind or Christ. They'll make it into something that you can explain, and then it will be lost again. And that's what the human mind does, because the human mind cannot know Christ. We started there with this chapter. The human mind, the human being, cannot know Christ. But when it is still, when it is at rest, in one of those 12 periods, in one of those 8 months, something comes into your awareness. And an awareness is not a thought. Awareness dissolves thought. Remember that. So, someone that hears you talking about it begins to form concepts in the mind. And then they present those concepts in a book. And it's as dry as the Sahara Desert. It won't heal anything. It won't reveal anything. But that's the nature of mankind, and the infinite way is going in the same direction. I can see it. So who can explain that which is invisible? Who can explain that which is infinite? As long as you can agree that this thing called God is something beyond human understanding, then you are approaching holy ground, or you are approaching an awareness of it. All right. So the thought comes, if that's true, if there is a spiritual influence and it is within me, or close to me, or within range of my individual awareness, my own comprehension, well, then I've missed the point somewhere because I haven't had consciously available to me any spiritual impulse. I haven't felt it. I haven't had it in my awareness. I've had thoughts of it. I've had desires of it, but I haven't experienced it. So how do I avail myself of it? How do I bring myself into the experience? How do I bring it into my experience? Well, let us acknowledge now that there is an it. Let us acknowledge that we do not know its nature, but we do know its effects. Its effects appear as harmonious creation, harmonious experience, harmonious body, harmonious being, harmonious activity, or harmonious relationships. That is the effects of soul or spirit formed. Always harmonious something. You can call it effects or fruits or signs following. It's the evidence that you're coming under its influence. Spiritual harmony is made evident in a state of absolute contentment, peace, and joy. That's the way it's felt within. You rest back and have the awareness of it, you'll find yourself in a state of contentment, peace, and joy. But once one has touched it, or been touched by that spiritual influence, there is also a continuous divine discontent Because no matter how joyous your inner experiences are, there is still a divine discontent because you haven't achieved the full realization yet of your Christhood. And that's true. Oh boy, is that true. I'm the living embodiment of that. And so you find contentment in very simple surroundings, but you still find the inner discontent because you realize how far your humanhood still is from the attainment or demonstration of its Christhood. Now, again, he's going to bring us back to this fact that it's individual spiritual consciousness. So this has nothing to do with our neighbor sitting next to you, nothing to do with membership. It is so very individual that you may go from this moment and attain the most wonderful experience imaginable on earth, but your next door neighbor goes on to utter failure, ill health, and so forth. And so you say, how could it have been? We had the same teacher, same teaching. It had nothing to do with the teacher or the teaching. It had to do with your individual consciousness. Now, when you watch this work after a while and you see one person out in the field being very, very, very successful, you say, well, no wonder. No wonder. They're out there with the Infinite Way. And they've got the Infinite Way books and recordings. And Joel comes around once in a while and gives a class. No wonder they're successful. Don't you believe that? There are more who are failures with all of that than are successes, because it has nothing to do with the Infinite Way. Nothing to do with the books. Nothing to do with the recordings. Nothing to do with Joel. It has to do with what degree of attainment you individually achieve. Whether or not you individually make contact with that inner spiritual impulse or influence. And that is all that the Infinite Way is. It's a revelation or a restatement of the revelation that there is a spiritual influence in this world and in your midst. All right. You see why I say you can throw everything away except those 12 times a day? Because you don't need anything else. We could have done this study up to chapter 10, 11, 12 and quit. Maybe we should have. But I'm assuming that you know that I meant it when I said that that's the single most important thing that you will ever learn. That ability to take these 12 periods a day until you make the contact. And apparently he feels the same way. So I'm in good company. So regardless of what the message is, the actual result is what takes place with it or through it in your individual consciousness. And of course the miracle is Christ. The Chinese called it Tao. Hindus and Japanese call it darshan, which is blessing. But so far as we're concerned, we use the word Christ. But it is the faculty of any and every individual who can attain it, who can realize it. Christ is yours. Christ is mine. Christ is, and Christ is a state of divine being. It's an essence, a presence, a power. A joy, a beauty. It comes into active expression in proportion as our thought ceases, in proportion as we develop an inner sense of receptivity. And so the 12 times a day are the whole thing. Because from it you'll learn everything that's in this book and all the spiritual books that were ever written and those that have not yet been written, maybe those that'll flow through you. All of that comes from the little pebble that brings down Goliath, which is the human mind, the world mind. And that little pebble is that contact you make within. We're going to do it by closing our eyes, opening our ear, and just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. If we just wait long enough, and if we go deeply enough, into the center of our being, it will flow. Really, that's it, huh? We're just repeating that over and over in a dozen different ways. Or maybe in 40 different ways, since there's 40 chapters. There is nothing that cannot be brought forth from the depths of your own inner being. And yet the activity will develop in what is called the outer world. Yes, there's always signs following. Anything that is in the mind of God can be brought forth through man. But that is only when man's mind is very still. When the mind is very still, very peaceful, very quiet, then God is the mind of every individual, and any and every individual can bring through infinity in proportion to the quietness and stillness of the thinking mind, the reasoning mind. Now, I like to substitute a word here because I don't like God as the mind, because the mind jumps up and just imitates that so well. So I've changed that to, it's only when his mind is very still, when the mind is very still, very peaceful, very quiet, then God is the consciousness or the conscious awareness of every individual. And any and every individual can bring through infinity in proportion to the quietness and stillness of the human mind, the thinking mind, the reasoning mind. Because then this consciousness, this conscious awareness, can form itself. So, after that, we may still use the thinking, reasoning mind to work out the details of human activity. But first, we must receive the inspiration from the soul. And that's how Mystical Principles List came about. First was the first talk, which just came out. I don't know why I put it on tape, but I did. And I shared it with a friend. And she said, wow. Wow. And so I thought, well, maybe there's some others that might want to hear it. And I posted one online somewhere, and the response was the same. So out of that, I took the human steps necessary to find a server online that would hold the talks for a certain price and figure out how to upload them and how to move them around and design a simple website so people could click on them and all that stuff. But first was the flowing from out of that conscious awareness, which developed, spoke as that talk, the principles in that talk. Then came the human activity. So that's what he's talking about here. First comes the realization, and then we may use the thinking, reasoning mind to work out the details of human activity. But first, we must receive the inspiration from the soul. Because if you don't, 20 years later, you're starving, asking for help, for supply or health or whatever, because it didn't flow forth from a consciousness. It flowed forth from the mind. In other words, eventually we will all recognize that the soul, the spiritual impulse, emanates from the soul, and the soul governs both mind and body. Both mind and body are instruments for the soul. Then the mind will function perfectly, and the body will function perfectly. We must, he has a lot of musts in here this week, we must come to a place of realization that mind and body are functions of the soul. But they're not functions of the soul if the human mind's running them. They're functions of the soul if you're taking these 12 periods a day and making contact. That's the meaning of the natural man is not under the law of God. The natural man is the man or the woman you are when the human mind is running things. And I don't care if it's the best intellect on the planet. It's not under the law of God. But when that is set aside and that contact is made repeatedly, then, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, then are you the sons of God. Then are you the offspring of God. Then are you under the law of God. And then is your mind and body functioned by the soul. But it must be an individual experience that you have, and it must be deep, as we have discussed already. Otherwise, I'm going to send you back to your room. And if you write me and say something that shows me you haven't gone deep enough, don't feel offended if I say to you, you haven't gone deep enough. Go back to your room. I mean, of course, I suppose in the Zen Buddhist monasteries, they have a choice, don't they? I'm sick of this. I'm not going back to my room. I'm going back to town to be a carpenter. Or I'm going back to town to be a mason or a fisher or a farmer. I guess I don't really want to be a Zen Buddhist monk. And so everybody has a choice hearing these talks. If you write to me and I say, you haven't gone deep enough, go deeper. You can be offended and say, what the heck does he know anyway? Or you can say, you know, I never did like that Bill Skow as much. I like Joel so much better. I'm going to stick with his talks. Yeah. Or you can say, you know, Herb's even deeper. I think I'll... Or you can say, well, gosh, doggone it, I guess I got to go deeper. It all comes down to self-honesty. You can waste a lifetime or not. Choice is yours. All right. So, soul animates mind and body when you've made the contact. When we know that, we will quiet the mind and the body and let the soul come through, let it form itself, using the spiritual impulse as its means of reaching our individual consciousness. Then, as the soul reveals itself to us, beauties, harmonies, the mind and the body take over and bring them into visible form and expression. That which God does is forever. And so when an inspiration comes from God, it comes through into full fruition. Now that's another way that you can tell it's the soul forming itself and not the mind imitating. Because when the mind does it, it comes through partially. There's problems, setbacks, roadblocks. But when God does it, when the soul forms itself, it comes into full fruition. There's no such thing as inventing something and not having the capital to finance it. No such thing. So, when you realize that it's the activity of the soul, of this universal being coming through, then you will step aside and let the invention come through. And the financing and the advertising and the buying and the selling will come with it. It brings it through into full expression. Now that's another piece of honesty there, another tool for you to be honest. Are there signs following? Is it coming through in full fruition, full expression? Or is there not signs following and I'm trying to pretend and I'm forcing it even though it's just a partial thing? Nobody will be honest for you but yourself, and I'm not harping on this for any individual. I'm harping on it for all of us because this human mind is such a dang imitator. It wants to imitate the truth. And then we're stuck there. And sometimes stuck there for years. Well, this little bit of honesty here, if you're able to say, yes, I made contact, there were signs following, and it was a complete full expression or demonstration, then you know for sure you have made the contact. And you don't have to ask anybody anymore. Once you've made it, you know the difference. All right. Well, I was going to talk about supply today. Supply and health will always be the two major subjects in all spiritual unfoldment until the realization is attained that there is neither health nor supply. There is only the attainment of the realization of God. See, Our whole emphasis should by now have changed. I hope nobody listening to these talks to this point, chapter 35, ever says, will you pray for some supply for me? If I can reach you, I'll grab you and shake you. And I'll give you a hug and sit you down and say, look, did you forget? Because the only thing we should be demonstrating, there's only one demonstration. No more outer demonstration. The only demonstration we have is making the contact. Seeing that the so-called problem of appearance of lack and limitation is an impersonal, powerless, substanceless nothingness, and then resting with whatever words we like. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thou art my beloved child, whatever words you like. Resting and waiting until we make the contact. When we make the contact, that conscious awareness of it is the demonstration. Everything else takes care of itself. We don't worry about it. So that's the only demonstration we have. There's no demonstration of health or supply ever again. There's a demonstration of the realization or conscious awareness of it. Christ, Spirit, Tao, I, is. I like is pretty good too. The is. So, health and supply are words that drop out of your vocabulary, because the only interest that one has is abiding in this realization of God, and all these other things take care of themselves. They're included. They're not added, they're included. So God appears as safety, security, the rock, the fortress, the high tower, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, manna, water, wine, bread, meat. God appears as these. And so you don't have to have concern for these. No answer. Thy grace is my sufficiency. You don't have to work on these. I am here. I am the way. But until such time as that realization dawns, health, supply, safety, security will be the subjects frequently discussed. Now, the infinite way differs on these subjects. The infinite way makes it very clear that prayer or even metaphysical treatment for things like health, supply, safety, security can never succeed. And so instead of concerning ourselves with these, we concern ourselves entirely with the prayer of spiritual realization, or entirely with making the contact. So, the realization of the Christ constitutes peace, joy, harmony, safety, security, health, and supply. We see that? We don't have to seek the things. We seek the source. We don't pray for things. We get quiet. In fact, we don't pray anymore at all. We just are vessels or transparencies or instruments through which Christ prays, which is another way of saying it reveals itself or pours into our awareness. But he said, what value would it be if the realization doesn't appear as safety, security, peace, and joy, health, and supply? So, we see that if it's a real experience, there's going to be signs following, and eventually we'll get to the place where we know that all we have to do is step out of that world mind and let soul form itself. And eventually it will live itself through us almost all of the time, and eventually all of the time. So in the world, when thought turns to supply, one thinks in terms of crops, herds, dollars, or properties. But for us in the infinite way, that is not true. None of those things are supply. And to think of them as supply sets up a sense of separation from the supply itself. Because the realization of God is the only supply there is. The realization of God is supply. And he reminds us in a lot of places, God doesn't send you health. God doesn't send you supply. God doesn't send you love. God is the health. God is the supply. God is the love. Eventually you're going to find out that you're eating and drinking God. Eventually you're going to find out you're loving and loving on God. Eventually you're going to find out that you're enjoying the supply, which is God. You really do live and move and have your being in God. But as long as there is God and supply, then of course you're going to be looking to God to send you some. When the truth is, because there is God, there is supply. The two are one. Or as long as there is God, supply will appear. But it must be God realized. It must be the center contact, not just a theory of God, a thought of God, a nice feeling about God, an emotional feeling about God. It must be an actual awareness. So he says, try in every way to realize this. When you think of supply, instantly think of God or Christ as supply. Do not any longer permit yourself to think of any effect as supply, but think of these as the effect of the real supply. Having the supply itself, which is God, the effects flow of their own accord. And he says, I wanted to conclude with one subject here, and that is the word sin. The handling of sin is in this wise. First, be sure that no trace of condemnation exists in your consciousness. And I am positive we all sin, because sin is missing the mark. It means sin is anything you do through the mind, or the human mind does through you. Because that's missing the mark. That's the human mind, which is not under the law of God, demonstrating itself, which is sometimes good and sometimes evil. That's the sin. And so if you're an instrument for it, temporarily, and I am some days, and you are some days, then the very first thing to do is to have no condemnation for yourself or anybody else that you see it coming through. That's the impersonalizing, taking it out of the person, taking it out of the world. And then the second thing is to see that it has no power, to turn from the sin or the sinner in the realization that a good human is not necessarily more spiritual than a bad human. Now, you don't want either one. Just like you don't want supply or health, you don't want a good human. You want only the spiritual experience, or you want only spiritual identity. And so he says, turn from the sin or the sinner in the realization that a good human is not necessarily more spiritual than a bad human. And then you will almost instantly have had a healing. The moment that you can realize within yourself that you are no more interested in a good human than a bad human, but only in spiritual identity of any individual, in that moment you have broken the illusory power of sin, false desire, false appetite. So we impersonalize, nothingize, and then the most important step, we rest back in the Christ identity. We rest back and wait for those 2 to 3 minutes until we've made the contact and spiritual identity announces itself, reveals itself. That's what we want. Always, again and again, over and over, we are pointed back to the invisible. We must learn to live and move and have our being in that invisible Christ, and allow that invisible Christ to flow forth and form itself through us. So that's the individual spiritual experience, part one. And next week we'll cover chapter 36, individual spiritual experience, part two. But the point of this chapter was that it must be your individual spiritual consciousness, develop spiritual consciousness. And a developed spiritual consciousness is nothing more fancy than one individual that's able to become still, step outside of that mind, be a state of receptivity, and into that stillness, the movement, the pouring of spirit or Christ or it or Tao is felt. You have the awareness of it, not the thought, not the emotion, but an awareness of it. And that is how you develop your spiritual consciousness. You return again and again to the well of your own consciousness. You experience the movement, the spirit, the blessing, the darshan, the Tao, the Christ again and again. And he's going to tell us, I think it's the chapter coming up, that he's going to tell us once again, there is an exact moment or point of transition in which it takes over. And you no longer have to return again and again because you're pretty much in it all the time. There is an exact point of transition. Paul meant it when he said, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth. The actual Christ was living him. The actual Christ was living Joel. And someday, it could be next week, next year, 10 years, 100 years, or 4 or 5 lifetimes, but someday, some moment, there will be an actual transition in which Christ is living you and me. And really, I tell you, that's all I live for. Nothing else matters to me but that. And although I have to take care of my daily responsibilities, I organize them in such a way that I can return again and again to the well, because nothing means more to me than that. Nothing, and no one. I must have it, and I will, and so will you. So, my brothers and sisters, thank you. There's only 6 more talks, 5 more chapters, and 1 summary. So, but you have the essence. I know that anybody that's listened to these talks and read these chapters will never, ever, ever again wonder what they're supposed to do. And that's great. That means I did my job. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. And we'll meet again next week. But if you listen to this tape before your meditation tonight, then we'll meet again here in a few minutes in your meditation. For we are one. And let us know this consciously. Thank you.